This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Monday. It's been a good time. So we're going to talk about them lying about crime statistics. I'm going to touch on that article we read a little bit earlier about the phasing out of white men from corporate America. Talk about some Ukraine stuff. We'll do some emails. All that. And Daniel Turner's coming up a half hour from now, going to talk to us about nuclear power. All that and more coming up in the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I just wanted to reinforce a point using a little bit of audio and maybe raise your eyebrows a little bit about something. So walk with me here. In the first hour, I read just a couple little tidbits from this article in Compact called The Lost Generation. Wonderful article. Wonderful. And it lays out about 2014, corporate America decided they weren't going to hire white people anymore. And they began an extremely systemic campaign to freeze white men out of corporate America, and it was unbelievably successful. They got white men out of corporate America. You couldn't get a call back. You never got hired. You were phased out. Okay, that's bad, right? It's evil. It's wrong. It's racist. It's terrible in every way. It wasn't fine when it was happening to black people, and it ain't fine now that it's happening to white people. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Okay. All right. Well, I want to just bring something up. I know it may be a little uncomfortable. Remember, if you're offended, I don't care. You can send me an email, but I want to bring something up. Why? Why was this anti-white man thing so pervasive across all of corporate America? I mean, it would be understandable. Okay, you have this lib company or that lib company. Okay, I get it. I get it. But it was like it was everyone. Well, who are the three big finance giants? BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street. Now, what does finance giant mean? Let's stop here for a moment. These companies, these gigantic finance companies, essentially control the boardrooms of corporate America, and they control it through access to money. So if you're Bank of America, and you know you're going to need a $2 billion loan next year, well, BlackRock's got to facilitate that for you. And if you've been a good little boy or a good little girl, then BlackRock will give you your $2 billion. But if BlackRock doesn't approve of, let's say, how many white men you have in the boardroom, then you are screwed. They hold the power of money over corporate America by holding the power of capital. Now, you've heard this audio before on the show, but allow me once again to introduce you to the CEO of BlackRock. His name is Larry Fink. Why was the systemic torpedoing of white careers so prevalent in the country? Hey, Larry, tell us.
Well, behaviors are going to have to change, and this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors, and at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors. 54% of the incoming class are women. We added four more points in terms of diverse employment this year. You know, what we are doing internally is, if you don't achieve these levels of impact, your compensation could be impacted, okay?
We're doing the same thing.
And so it's just, you have to force behaviors. And if you don't force behaviors, whether it's gender or race or just any way you want to say the composition of your team, you're going to be impacted. And that's not just not recruiting, it is development, as Ken said. And ultimately, it's still going to take time, but I am just as much shocked as Ken is that we have not seen more opportunities, and we're going to have to force change.
And he did. He did. Oh, you want that $30 million bonus, Mr. CEO? Why don't you have any gay people on your board? Why are there too many white men? Got to get some Asians in there. Hey, the black people are underrepresented. Better get some whites off the board. Larry Fink, BlackRock, bragged about racism against white people on camera. And remember, as I've told you before, every single corporation you see that brags about diversity, it's going to diversify diversity, they're openly bragging about discriminating against white men. That's what it is. Because it never, ever means hire more white men. It means that's what we won't hire. Now, which part of this would offend you? Do I need to remind you that Russia-Ukraine's still going on? Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, that would be Ivanka's husband, he's knee-deep in these negotiations between Ukraine and Russia. But he's not sitting at the table alone. The story came out last week. Jared Kushner has a couple men by his side. One of them, also in the Trump administration, Steve Witkoff. The other one, Larry Fink. Larry Fink of BlackRock. When we talk about, quote, the lost generation, systemic racism against white men across corporate America, the destruction of careers, destruction of hopes, dreams, just for the color of your skin and your gender. BlackRock and Larry Fink, they were a main driving force behind it. And now they're part of the negotiations to end the Russia-Ukraine war. After Larry Fink puts into place these policies and brags about these policies, he's now going to make money off the American taxpayer? You know that's how this is going to work. He's going to make money. He's there. He's not there out of goodwill. He's there so he can, of course, help rebuild Ukraine when this thing is over. Why would he be sitting at the table? Because he's going to receive for himself and his shareholders guarantees. And your money is going to be removed from your wallet to pay the CEO who ran white men out of corporate America. Shameful. Shameful. Why is Larry Fink within 1,000 miles of the Trump administration, let alone something like the Ukraine-Russia negotiations? Disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful that Trump is allowing this to happen. Get that filthy snake out. Gone. Horrible human being. Responsible for so much of what we see. Now, I got myself all worked up there. Let's do some email. I'm fine, Chris. I'm fine. Jesse, I hate to think this way, but in my view, Trump is going to go down as a failure of a president, this guy says. Ooh, everything he's doing now will be reversed because the absolute losers in the GOP are doing nothing to codify into law what is his executive orders. Trump thinks everyone in the GOP is the same as him. If he flatters them, they'll do what he wants. These people are simply waiting him out. I don't know why he's not speaking directly to the people, so on and so forth. I don't know, man. I'm just very frustrated, and I hope I'm completely wrong. Trump will not be a complete failure. He will not be a complete failure. But he will not be a complete success. We have 1,000 battles left to fight, as we talked about so many times before. And winning that election in November, stopping the communists, was huge. Don't dismiss that. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to get everything you want. I'm not going to get everything I want. I am also, look, I just vented to you. I'm frustrated about some things. No question about it. We're at 2.5 million deportations already in year one. That's before the total deportation infrastructure has been put into place. What if that number is 4 million next year? Look, if Trump does nothing but deport 10, 15 million people, he's a success. But we can't get it into law. Listen, Congress is evil and corrupt. There is no good law this Congress could possibly pass. And you know what? I see these people right now saying we should end the filibuster. Let's end the filibuster. I have asked repeatedly. I have not seen it one time. So I'll ask again. You want to nuke the filibuster. What I need is you to put in front of me the law you intend to pass if I agree to nuke the filibuster. What is the law? I want to know the fine print, and I want to know you have the votes to pass it. Because I believe if you nuke the filibuster, I will still get some horrible, crappy law. That's what I believe. I believe it all the way. I don't think you'll pass a good law. I think you'll let James Lankford and Lindsey Graham get involved in this legislation, and it'll be another swamp bill. That's what I think. All right. Do some more of these emails. Next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email us your love, your hate, your death threats, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse will likely witness the end of the British Empire in our lifetimes. Conquer or be conquered. The British Empire is already gone. Remember, the empire was when they had colonies all over the globe. Sun never sets on the British Empire and all that stuff. Well, they lost almost all those. And now they're communists, their Labor Party. They've imported so many foreigners that now they probably can't get them out. Think about that. Once you get to, remember, you can get to a point where you can't get them out because they have too many people. What, once you get to that point, well, I hate to say this, but this is how conquest works. It's as much their country as it is yours. This is why I'm so hot on the mass deportation of foreigners. I always have been. I always will be. Once you get too many, you can't possibly win. It's not possible. And if you get them out, you can't lose. The communists know it. J.B. Pritzker. J.B. Pritzker wants to be president of the United States of America. I promise you, he knows it.
Well, I'm talking about the people who've been here for 5, 10, 20 years, hardworking, raising families, paying taxes, law-abiding, right? All of those folks, some, you know, the and people who are undocumented, right? Those are the very people you'd want to have come into the country if you had a proper immigration policy.
Right.
And so we ought to fix it so that we actually are doing that. We're and giving people who are here, who I get, some of them, by the way, have broken the law because they crossed the border without permission, but also some who overstayed a visa and are here undocumented, that, you know, we ought to have a path for those folks to stay.
He knows exactly where his bread is buttered. And by looks of him, he has a lot of it. He knows exactly where his bread's buttered, the mass importation of foreigners. They will never stop. They will never slow down. They're not sorry. Oh, and speaking of politicians who are complete lizard people, Chuck Schumer, you've heard me call him a lizard person before, and I really mean it. I am convinced at this point in time that if you spend too much time in politics and in corruption in politics, that your humanity will slowly fade and eventually leave you, that there's just nothing there anymore. I would venture to guess, this is a guess, I don't know him personally, so I don't know. I would venture a guess that Chuck Schumer rarely feels any genuine human emotions. Not happiness or sadness or anger. I believe that he's no longer a human being. When he made this statement, you're about to hear, we had just had that shooting in Australia, just had that shooting at Brown University, two wonderful young kids dead, and this was Chuck Schumer.
And of course, I'm going to say a few words about the terrible shooting in Sydney, Australia, okay? So, and first, of course, as I always say, no matter what, go Bills. They beat the Patriots today. It's a big deal.
What? How could he be so cold? I'm telling you, He's a lizard person. There's nothing human left inside of him. Every part of his life, after so many years, is scripted and written for him. And it's a talking point of some kind. It's like that burger picture that we've discussed before. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe you haven't. If you haven't seen it, I would honestly, unless you're driving, look it up right now. Chuck Schumer, I think it was for Independence Day. I don't remember. I think it was for Independence Day. Chuck Schumer, someone on his staff, obviously, took a picture of him, quote, grilling burgers. Only he's standing in front of a grill. There is clearly raw burger sitting on the grill, and he's already placed the American cheese on top of the raw burger that he just threw on the grill. Now think about this. Think about this. No, even if you're just a monster, everybody knows how to grill a burger, right? And certainly someone Chuck Schumer's age knows how to grill a burger. And let's just say he didn't come up with the idea, because he probably didn't. It's some communication staffer or chief of staff or something. Hey, let's put a picture up of you grilling burgers. You would still, if you're still a human being, you would still look down at the raw burger and the cheese that they just put on it, and you would say to yourself, wait, that doesn't look right. We have to grill the burger first or take the cheese off. Any human who was still a human being, a human person, would know that. Chuck Schumer said, "Ah, looks good. Snap the picture." A complete lizard person.
And of course, I'm going to say a few words about the terrible shooting in Sydney, Australia. Okay? So, and first, of course, as I always say, no matter what, go Bills. They beat the Patriots today. It's a big deal.
Good grief. Hey, Jesse, what's your favorite Christmas song and tradition? Merry Christmas to you and your family and everyone at the studio, and happy Hanukkah to Chris, says her name is Deb. Oh, yeah. Didn't that just start, Chris? Hanukkah? Was it today? Happy Hanukkah, Chris. And there's like a lot of days, right? It's the 7 or 8 days. Have you given anyone else a gift, or just waiting to... No gifts, Chris? You didn't give anybody a gift, Chris? Are you serious? Chris... You have to buy other people's stuff too, buddy. You realize that? Not even like a $5 gift card or something to someone? Nothing? I'm so tired. I'm just so tired. Anyway, we're going to talk to Daniel Turner in a moment about nuclear power. Let me talk to you about taking care of pain without drugs. We don't want to just ignore it. Right, but you want to live your life. You want to live your life pain-free. Everybody does. No one sits around saying, "I wish I had chronic pain," but your back hurts all the time. Your leg hurts all the time. Your neck hurts all the time. What if there was a supplement with natural ingredients that would help support your body's response to it and make that pain go away? Not for a couple hours. Forever. Relief Factor is doing that to people. Did you know almost 70% of people who order Relief Factor call and order more? Almost 70%. That's effective. They'll let you try it for 3 weeks. $19.95 is what it costs. 3 week quick start, $19.95. You take it every day for 3 weeks and watch that pain slowly but surely disappear. Go to relieffactor.com. Or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a spectacular Monday, and I want to know why we're building nuclear plants. Aren't we all going to die? After all, I've seen Chernobyl. Joining me now, my friend Daniel Turner with Power the Future. Okay, Daniel, why are we building nuclear plants? I'm so afraid.
Yeah, you know, there's two things I always tell folks when it comes to nuclear not to be afraid. The first one is America already runs the world's largest nuclear arsenal, and it's called our Navy. And, you know, every day we are putting thousands of 18-year-old farm boys, most of them sleep on top of the nuclear reactor, right? They're 8 months underwater in a submarine, or they're on a nuclear aircraft carrier. And you don't hear of any problems. And the reason why is because nuclear is perfectly safe. So that's the one thing that should give people a lot of concern. And the second thing, and I know this is an easy joke, and I apologize for how trite this is. You have a more sophisticated humor than this, Jesse, but I'll do it anyway. 80%, 90% of France's electricity comes from nuclear power. And if the French are not afraid to go nuclear, why in the hell are the Americans afraid to go nuclear? So we should be building nuclear plants everywhere.
Okay, so break this down for me, Daniel, in a way that'll make me less stupid. How long does it take to build one, get it up and running? I personally would like to see my power bill go down significantly. Yeah. But what is this process like? I can imagine what the permitting process is like to build a friggin' nuclear plant.
Which is the main reason why they haven't had one built in around 30 years, because you put in enough regulations to make it impossible to build, and then people just scrap the entire idea. The thing that's interesting about these modular nuclear reactors, which you've heard people talk about, is they're not like the old nuclear plants, the size of football stadiums, right? Those enormous cooling towers and huge facilities. These things are the size of an 18-wheeler, right? They're pretty small and agile, and they can be put online quickly. And like all modular homes, et cetera, they come prefab. So the idea is that these things, you drop them where you need them, and you turn them on, and they're ready to go. So the technology says we could have these things up and running in a matter of months.
Okay, why now? Is this just a Trump thing? Is this about the data centers that you've warned us about? And what is this about?
I think it's a little bit of everything. I think it's definitely a Trump thing. We need energy desperately. The data centers, Trump is watching those markets, and he realizes that we are going to be demanding three times as much electricity as we're producing right now. So we're headed in that bad direction. You know, and electricity, it's like any fixed commodity. And this is where you scratch your head when you look at these morons who we elect, and they try to pretend all these games like these are really complicated issues and we don't know what's happening. Electricity is a fixed commodity, like healthcare is a fixed commodity, like education. When Barack Obama told every college kid that they had to start going to college and we'll give you the money to do it, well, it's a number of fixed, I didn't go to college, but even I know there's a number of fixed university seats available. And when you start increasing the demand and the supply stays the same, the price goes up, right? When you tell people by law they have to have health insurance, but the numbers of doctors and hospitals is fixed, the price goes up. And now we're telling everybody that you have to electrify everything. You have states like California, Jesse. California, it is now illegal to buy a gas-powered leaf blower, a snow blower. Like, everything has to be electric. Well, you're pushing everyone towards electric, but the supply is fixed. So what happens? The price goes up. So these aren't complicated issues. It's just we elect a bunch of dumbasses, and they treat us like children and don't actually try to fix problems.
They really are just the worst freaking people in the world. Speaking with Daniel Turner, Power of the Future. Daniel, would Venezuela possibly, perhaps, maybe having a little bit of a regime change into being one that is more friendly to us, would that help me, the American, in any way? Would it help get my power down? I know they have these supposed vast oil reserves.
Yeah, they do. They have the world's largest proven reserves. It's possible we have more in America. There are large parts of America we're not allowed to even do exploratory drilling, so it's kind of a question mark. But proven reserves, Venezuela leads the world. Now, the problem with Venezuelan oil is that it is what they call dirty, meaning it is very, very viscous, and it has an awful lot of sulfur. So to turn it into products we can use costs a lot of money. But that means we can still do it. It's not a very good quality oil, but we can still do it. Would Venezuela being more stable be good for America? Probably. Do I want to send boys and girls over there to make it happen? No. You know, I like the drug boat attack, the offensive. You send bad things to us and we'll just blow you up on the way, and then we deal with it. It is embarrassing to see people like Eric Swalwell and my two Virginia senators crying over these. They call them fishermen and boats clinging to the side. Blow them all up, Jesse. Goodness gracious, what are we even playing these silly games for? So regime change in Venezuela could be good, but I like the way we're doing it right now. Just blow up the bad guys one at a time if necessary.
Daniel, how much energy does Russia have? Because I'll be honest with you, this war has gone on for so long, and at least from afar, I'm not there, I'll never go there, I'm sure I'd be arrested or something. It doesn't look like their economy is collapsing. I don't understand.
No, it's they have a tremendous amount of energy. And remember when the world embargoed Russian oil and gas and said, we're going to stop this war. We are embargoing oil and gas. Several countries, including Turkey, including India, including South Korea, said, yeah, we're not going to embargo Russian oil. We're just going to continue to buy it. And then Putin said, all right, how about I sell India five times more oil? And then India said, hey, France, Germany, Spain, you need oil? I have a lot for sale. And so Europe bought Russian oil and gas. They just bought it through a third-party intermediary. Again, remember I called our elected officials a bunch of dumbasses? These are the dumbass things that our elected officials do and try to convince us that they're taking some stand. We've embargoed Russian oil and gas. Well, no, you haven't, right? You just set up a bunch of middlemen. So we've financed, I mean, Europe financed the Russian war and continues to finance Russia's war. I think the turning point could be oil at $57, $58 a barrel, which is where we are now. Remember, for the years of the Biden administration, oil was averaging over 90. That was a lot of cash to pay a lot of soldiers. But he doesn't have that money right now, and that's not a good thing for him, for Putin, or for his military.
Tell me about India and their energy. I just find it, I find these things to be fascinating, that they would need Russian oil. India is such a big place. Surely they've got some of their own, right?
No, Pakistan had most of it, and then they had a big war. And then, so a lot of the Kashmir region that we always, not just the great Led Zeppelin song, but the region of, that's the militarized zone where they do that fanciful dance every day. A lot of the Kashmir-Pakistan fight, yes, there's some historical cultural differences, but a lot of it was over energy. And Pakistan has a lot of oil and gas. China wants to be better friends with Pakistan, but India's in the way, right? That China wants to be better friends with Iran as well, but there are other countries in the way. So India does not have a huge domestic supply. Now, India, again, is a gigantic country. Maybe, and it's also a third world country. So maybe there are regions that are yet undiscovered where there's lots of oil and gas. But for a country that's five times our population, they are in desperate need for energy. So they buy it from Russia and then they sell the excess.
Daniel, tell me what's on the Turner household table at Christmas Day. Is there a special thing? Are you ordering a pizza? What is it?
Christmas Day is pizza. Christmas Day is it's going to cost me an arm and a leg, but you have to do it. It's got to be the prime rib, right? And the horseradish sauce, and it's just great. And it's expensive, and you get a really good meat thermometer to make sure you don't screw it up. But Christmas has to be a big bloody and very rare prime rib.
Yeah, that reminds me of a French dip. Anyway, I don't have time to talk about this right now. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you and yours. Chris, there's a restaurant here in Houston. They're famous for their prime rib. I think it's called Lorenzo's. Lorenzo's. I hope they're still in business. They're famous for their prime rib. They have a French dip. I'm not even a big French dip fan. French dip sandwich. It's $22, if I remember right. And this was years ago when I went in there, right? It's a lot. But you can add smoked provolone to the French dip, and they're making the French dip off of the fresh prime rib they're slicing right there in front of you. It might be the best sandwich I've ever eaten in my entire life. What, Chris? I know it's $22. Okay, I'll buy, Chris. I'll buy. All right, I'll buy. Just hear me out. Some things are worth it, all right? LifeLock is worth it. That way you don't lose everything. You know they'll empty your bank account, right? And you know this is the season where criminals really thrive, these online criminals. Do you know why? Because everyone's shopping online this Christmas season. Every single time you're there online, putting in your name, putting in your phone number, your credit card number, your address, there are thieves who want that information so they can empty your bank account, take loans out in your name, and wipe you out. Get LifeLock so you don't get a 500 credit score for Christmas this year. When you join now, you save up to 40% off your first year with the promo code Jesse. LifeLock.com, promo code Jesse, or if you're more of a phone person, they're wonderful on the phone, you can call them 1-800-LIFELOCK. Just use promo code Jesse, all right? Terms apply. Now, dang, we only have one segment left. I guess we better have fun. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. Don't forget, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I will wrap up the Rhodesian Bush War history tomorrow in hour two of the show. Who knows what else we have on our plate? I was thinking about something today. We'll get to what Nancy Pelosi said here in a minute and the D.C. cooking the books on crime stuff. But I was thinking about this today. Why don't people ride rhinos? A rhinoceros. They're super fast. They're super strong. They have armor, a weapon system. Why not domesticate and ride rhinos? What, Chris? Oh, Chris made a James Langford joke. Chris, that's not right. That's not right. Anyway, I like this idea. I think, Chris, you should try. I think you should try to. Someone has to try. Chris, I'm too valuable. You, not valuable at all. You should be the one who tries. All right? Nancy Pelosi said this, and pretty revealing.
Jim, this should not be the agenda of Democrats for this last 2 years.
If he crosses the border again. But that's not an incidental thing. You say, well, we're going to do that. No, there has to be cause. There has to be reason. We had review. This was a very serious historic thing, and our founders knew that there could be a rogue president, and that's why they put impeachment in the Constitution. They didn't know there'd be a rogue president at the same time a rogue Senate that didn't have the courage to do the right thing. It was bipartisan in the Senate, but it wasn't enough.
Nancy Pelosi's trying to discourage the animals from impeaching Trump again when they take back the House. It won't work. She tried to hold him off on doing it last time because she knew it would be politically unpopular. It didn't work. The old guard is getting overrun. They've gotten overrun. They have lost to the new age AOC communists, and that's not good. Now, the D.C. police chief is in the news for cooking the books, if you will, on crime data.
The outgoing D.C. police chief was essentially cooking the books on crime data and trying to make the city seem a whole lot safer than it really was. They alleged that D.C. Metro Police Chief Pamela Smith pressured commanders to report lower crime stats by any means necessary. The commanders testified that Chief Smith even pushed them to pursue lesser charges that aren't publicly reported, even for serious crimes, and she required certain crimes to be reviewed by her office. Now, the report also says police commanders testified that Chief Smith punished them and retaliated against them if they tried to report accurate rising crime data, even berating them in meetings and individually to pressure them into reporting those lower crime figures.
I want you to know that has gone on in every single major city in the country. The only reason we know about it happening in D.C. is because the federal government controls D.C., therefore D.C. can't hide its books from the federal government. Communists have taken over DA's offices. They've taken over police departments. They've taken over the judges. They've taken over in these big cities, and they are setting violent animals free as fast as they possibly can on purpose. Violent crime is through the roof in our cities. And that's why they're lying about it. They're covering up for crimes. Wherever they can, they'll classify the criminal as white. This is being well documented now. They'll take some illegal from El Salvador who just chopped off his neighbor's head and call him as white in the police report. This is because the communists, in an effort to cover up for their vast crimes, are willing to lie at all times. So they'll take over huge positions of power, like being a judge, like being a police chief, and there They will set about doing evil things and lying about it. That's why Pam Smith and virtually every other police chief in the major cities, they're all doing the same freaking thing, doing the best they can to cover up for communist open jail policies. This is not a DC story. Pam Smith's story is every major American city, and anyone who's spent any time in American cities has seen the slow degradation over the years. This is intentional, remember, and that's why they're lying about it. And that's why these big cities won't even send their crime data into the FBI now, and therefore your liberal Aunt Peggy will be shouting in your face at the Christmas party coming up soon that violent crime's down 40%. Of course, she may or may not know what they've done and why they've done it. She's probably just stupid enough to believe what she sees on the news. Why do we have judges helping illegals escape? Remember Judge Hannah Dugan? Her trial's about to start. Why? Hannah Dugan was put there to do that, to protect and aid the revolution.
And now...
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Explosive non-citizen Social Security number growth under Biden is staggering. A reminder that the Biden administration didn't just import as many foreigners as possible. They tried to give them all Social Security numbers because Democrats are evil. Los Angeles, oh, speaking of which, Los Angeles has become the global hub for child sex trafficking. Again, Exhibit A. Well, that's B. Democrats are evil. Democrats paid Black Lives Matter to hit the streets if Trump won, according to Mike Benz. No. You mean the communists are going to, how did they say it? Fight in the streets? Over 80% of Somali refugee households are taking welfare in Walls' Minnesota. Man, those open borders are working out well. The Chinese billionaires are having dozens of U.S.-born babies via surrogate. Yes, Chinese billionaires are impregnating surrogates and then sending them to America to have babies so the baby will be a U.S. citizen. I'm sure there's nothing nefarious behind any of that. I will see you tomorrow. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.